Are you ready for some meatball?
Bear down. Bear down, Chicago. Oh, wait. Did we want to win that?
Well, that could be debatable, but they won, and I am happy. What does that say about me, though?
Meatball composer.
That's right. The Bears. Bears win.
I know we just mentioned that we'd talk long-term later, and we got Wednesday's pod. And I know that this is bad probably for the long-term as far as draft position that they desperately need. I wouldn't have been able to live with a 10-game losing streak and then an off-season.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how painful that would have been?
Indeed. So,
that's all I'll say about that for now. But we finally won a game. Let's start with the good, yeah?
Yeah, sounds good. And not only did they win, but they won by 29 points.
Bears? Without really trying in the second half. Or was that the Bears still trying in the second half?
That's something to talk about.
We will get to that. But the good, I think we obviously should start with, well, everything that's good comes with this really important caveat. That is to say, this game was more about the Bears' opponent, I think, than the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But their line was healthy, and the Bears' pass rush was excellent.
It was. It's been.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's been weeks since we saw anything like that. Edwards was a monster.
Mack was a monster despite playing banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn got held twice at least, and another time was about to get a sack, and they blew it dead. That was the best game he's had since the first snap that he played for the Bears.
Right. That's,
you know, faint praise and all. But yeah, the pass rush was good. Even with kicks, looks gimpy still. They finally dialed up a couple effective blitzes with Roquan. It was like Pagano was like, oh, right, everyone figured us out. Maybe I should do something different.
Yeah.
They finally stunted.
Mm-hmm. Several times.
Yeah, a lot of them, actually. Mac's safety, I think, was a stunt, but I'd have to review it. And the fumbles, just brilliant kind of play that we've been waiting for Mac to have. And I just am much happier watching this team when there are Khalil Mack moments. That's the meatball in me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the defensive line and the front seven came to play. I didn't think Trevathan was exposed in coverage much. That's my first takeaway for the good. There's one other obvious good, or two, I think.
What do you got?
Mitch. Mitch had a good game. Again, probably more about the opponent than anything else, but let's give credit where it's due. And – dang it, Chris, if I wasn't real satisfied watching Mitch outplay one of the guys I'm so sick of hearing about.
I know. I'm so happy for Mitch. He needed this. He needed to go head-to-head with one of those two guys and play better, and he did. There was no doubt who the best quarterback on the field today was. Now, is Watson still better overall?
Of course.
Yeah. But today, Mitch was better.
Mitch was much better. And other – good would be Montgomery's 80-yard run and overall play, which is also one of the bad because he should have got the ball more.
Yeah, he won his first run for 80 yards and a touchdown, and then he got the ball 10 more times.
Which is just embarrassing. Although he was a factor in the passing game.
He was. But that was one thing that Nagy gave many reasons to remind us that he needs to be let go at the end of the year. But going back to Mitch for a second. Since he took the starting role over again, do you know how many points the Bears are averaging per game?
Way more than under Foles.
30.
Yeah, exactly.
30 points a game they're averaging with Mitch. 24 against Green Bay, 30 last week against the Lions, and 36 today.
Hit that 2-point conversion, so it's 25 against Green Bay. Isn't it?
Oh, was it? Oh, I thought they lost.
Don't you short Mitch a point?
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I thought it was only 20 anyway. But.
It doesn't matter. Your point still stands. Okay, clearly, well, while you're here.
Better with Mitch, yeah.
It is, and I don't see how they can possibly bring him back, but I would be all interested in a, hey, we got a new coach. What do you say? 2 years to and a rookie draft pick. You want to come back for a couple years? I know it'll never happen, and I know he's not that good, but I'd rather do that than have Foles, period.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, has
– like, what's his market value? Mitch's market value is really weird.
Has Mitch shown enough in these last three games to make a prospective head coach say, I could work with that. I could do something with that.
That's the question. And, again, the opponents matter here.
Yes.
But you can make a pretty healthy living bum slaying in the NFL QB, which is really what Mitch is at this point.
Well, they played three. Go ahead.
Foles was just bad, period, except for when he came in relief.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe the Tampa game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do there. That's a topic for another day, and it's probably stupid and premature right now. But I'm just saying, if he took a super team-friendly deal, if a new coach happened to want to give it a shot, that's the other huge caveat here. Like, you aren't going to run him back with Nagy. And does Mitch say, you know what, I'd rather do a short thing and establish my value and then go for the home run? The Bears will, meanwhile, of course, still draft someone.
Yeah, they should still
somehow get rid of Foles. So there's just a lot of impossibility here. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that Mitch is playing well enough that it's not totally stupid to bring it up.
Yeah.
Just unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, I think.
They're bad. They played three bad defenses, right? Three bottom half defenses the last 3 weeks. But averaging 30 against these bad defenses, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, so he didn't score 50? Okay, we're not the Chiefs. You know, like, I don't know what else you could have expected from him besides that fumble being really bad against Detroit. But also mostly
there's line problem there too.
Mostly if Eddie's fault.
Right. Yeah. Right. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. That's great. I was just gonna say that was pretty much what I had for the good. I think the receivers had a pretty good game. Line was okay. Charles Leno was really bad. And I
really
wonder
bad.
How this offense looks if they just shore up tackle position and somehow bring everybody back, which they're already not going to because of Mitch and A-Rob. But even when Foles was playing like trash, the line was so bad. Mm-hmm. And that's the two reasons to fire Pace are not Mitch and trading up for Mitch. It's the bad cap stuff that we went over last time and ignoring the O-line for two straight years now. Mm-hmm. And then Mitch is up there. It's a miscue. But, like, the quarterback's tough to get right. You can't screw up the easy stuff. But, anyway, back to the game. I thought the special teams were fantastic.
Yeah. We got a kicker.
We do. He's good.
He's very good. He's got highest field goal percentage in a season. And that includes Robbie Gould, man. That's
So I was close to muting the broadcast in the first quarter, and then it got better. But that was a nice nugget the broadcast gave us.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, the great irony. You texted me this. The great irony that the team's bad, but the kicker's good. And what if we had a good kicker 2 years ago? Who knows?
Yep. Shout out to my buddy Brian for that conversation. Ah. My cousin was on fire too. I don't know, I have to give him a shout out because he listens as well. But his text that I sent you about Watson holding the ball forever, and he was like, "That right there is the second or third best player in the league." That just floored me. Because I'm not getting out of this podcast without pointing out how bad Deshaun Watson was, and it's not even going to show it in the stats, but he's sitting there holding the ball for 3.5 hours repeatedly, actually, the reason there were sacks. So we gave the pass rush some love, but we do need to admit Watson assisted sometimes.
He took three bad sacks that would have gotten Mitch roasted. Yep. By the
and not even the safety wasn't even one of them. That was actually just a great pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that safety's always fun. We're meatballs. We got to love this. Any game.
I love a safety. Love me a safety.
I sure do.
Yeah, lots of positives that you think, man, if only, you know.
While we're beating annoying narratives into the ground, touchdown Colts, they're up 10-0 on the Raiders. Bears won the trade. Mac had a sack and a fumble forced and recovered, and the Raiders are getting shut out.
Nice.
Actually, more like they've already given up 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. I just have to.
That's all right. That's all right.
Some of my friends will appreciate the joke there, too.
But, you know, if they win, if they had beaten Detroit last week, we're 7-6.
I know. That loss is super painful, isn't it?
And still, I mean, it makes me irritated that the Bears are still in the wild card hunt. You know, I either want them to be for sure going to the playoffs or not. And
we've joked.
We've
joked. I've joked with a couple other Bears fans, friends and all. The worst scenario would be like 9-7 for the lowest possible pick and still missing the playoffs. You know, because like Green Bay has nothing to play for the last week or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going.
That could happen.
The worst possible thing. I'll say silver lining wise, it's so hard not to get to the big picture every time we do this, isn't it? You know, I mentioned the 10-loss thing. I really would not have wanted to stomach that. But you also got the Jags coming up. But I am also pretty sure they're not going to have a chance at one of the best QBs without making a big trade. And I don't know if they should even do those resources.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they will.
Right. That's... Like, even if they win six, I think they're probably still not getting one of the top few QBs.
Yeah, based on who all's going to be picking, like you pointed out a couple shows ago. Yeah. And maybe a left tackle would be there, and that would be a better option.
I think left tackle trade back into the first and pick one of the SEC QBs could make some sense. But again, topics for another day.
Yeah.
What do you think of Eddie Jackson's play today?
Well, I missed the first quarter. I missed the first quarter, and well, apparently
he totally loafed on their TD.
Yeah. But he had a couple like coming out of the secondary bullet hits against.
He tackled better.
Yeah, he did tackle better. But still not seeing him enough in passing defense.
He dropped a really tough interception early too.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay. I have an Eddie Jackson conspiracy harebrain tinfoil hat theory.
Okay.
Cause he played really bad initially and then really good. I thought in the second half, especially not making business decisions on tackles.
Ooh.
He's a very, very emotional player. So at the beginning of the game, when it's like, yeah, who knows what this team's gonna do, and now it's 14-7. You know, I mean, they're already up 14 even, but it didn't look like he had. Then they're like rolling, and all of a sudden he's got it again.
Mm.
He's maybe a momentum player would be a nicer way to put it, but it just made me wonder because he did not give a full effort on that TD. But then later in the game, I was like, whoa, Eddie with a big hit, which we hadn't seen the last 2 weeks. You know, he was one of the worst players on the defense, not named Buster Screen or Danny Trevathan. And we can't have that, of course, out of a player that important and that good. So bounce back-ish? Can we say that? Maybe?
Well, 7 points against the second greatest player ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at those empty stats at the end of the game, too.
I know. I know.
This is my other theme for this game as we get in kind of the bad more now. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled.
This is a bad Texans defense.
It's a bad Texans everything. Although they did have a healthy O-line. If there's anything to build off of, it might be the pass rush, but again, he held the ball forever. Mm-hmm. Don't be fooled by Watson's stats. Right, 219 and a touchdown and no turnovers in the rating, which is why rating's stupid. He's sacked for 52 yards.
Bears! You know? The Bears!
He took two or three brutal ones. Was safety, though that one wasn't really his fault. But the one before set up the safety was totally his fault.
Yep.
Man, he held that ball long enough on those three plays that we're referring to that I think that swings time of possession in favor of the Texans because it's like 2.5 minutes of just him standing there with the ball.
Yeah.
I joke, but don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by the offense, I don't think, just yet. And most importantly, and I'm sorry, people, I'm trying not to, like, go rah, me, angry Bears fan on this pod. The coaching is still pretty terrible.
Yes.
Matt Nagy is still not coaching the game in front of him.
I tweeted that exact thing during the fourth quarter, yep.
Oh, I should follow you on Twitter. Just
kidding. Don't follow the meatball composer?
Of course I do. I'm joking. Oh. Hey, I wore my shirt the other day. Hmm. So you tell me what was wrong with the coaching?
Well, why are we not running the ball in the fourth quarter to eat up more clock?
How did Montgomery have six carries until the fourth
quarter,
I think?
Inexcusable.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And you're in field goal range and on the, I think, second to last drive. And Mitch takes a 12-yard sack, which he can't be taking a 12-yard sack.
No, that's terrible on Mitch, but I'm talking coaching too.
Why are you not running the ball there? You were in field goal range. Run a few more yards. Get a little closer.
And fourth and two, kicking that field goal was just wimpy. I mean, I know it doesn't matter. You're up big.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like every time Nagy makes a fourth down decision, I'm like, nope, do the other one. And that's before I see the result. I already think that.
Yeah.
So, but the lack of running with the huge lead, with your lead back, was the biggest problem.
I don't understand it.
And they burned a few timeouts. I thought it was absolutely hilarious that the Bears coaching bad narrative is intact on two fundamental levels. Even in a game where you're up 30-7, you still can't score a third quarter touchdown. It's just comical. And then they take the timeout, and that's when Mitch gets the big sack. Going into this game, did you see this by Kevin Fishbane? Oh, this was great stuff. The Bears have called timeouts in situations that don't involve stopping the clock but involve getting a play right 12 times this season.
Oh.
And two of them have been successful.
That's a bad average.
The rest have been abject disasters, and we keep saying it. At the moments where you can observe the impact of coaching the most, it continues to fall woefully short in game. And despite the big lead, today's got examples of that, which is crazy.
Yeah, just enough to show you that he still needs to go.
Yeah, and I'm just worried now that they'll win a couple more and then they'll keep them. And who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I was sick of losing. Like, it's hard for me
to
not be like, hey, we won. And again, so satisfying to whoop Watson. And I just feel great for Mitch, who's a good dude.
I know.
I would take him back as a stopgap over Foles if they could figure out a way to make those contracts happen, which is a total pipe dream. Of course, still draft a QB. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Get a QB.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather watch Mitch than Foles any day at this point. And one of them is, you know, back next year and one's not. And unfortunately, it's going to go the other way around.
But you think they're going to keep Foles?
Really rewarding to see Mitch take it to a team with Watson on it.
It was. And, I mean, yeah, he had three touchdowns compared to Watson's one touchdown. And also, I think this is the best stat of today, is that Watson's yard per attempt was 7.3 and Mitch 8.1.
There you go. Yeah.
So he,
again, I'm not actually advocating for him long term. I just wish lived in a scenario where he was coming back to be the stopgap, not Foles.
You really think they're going to do that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a guy that's not on the roster.
He can't go back to Foles. He was awful.
Oh, no, you can't. Well, you might have new coaches, and then they just do well. You know, it's a Glenn and Trubisky Foles rookie scenario. Duh. And he just starts a couple games until the rookie's ready. I don't know. The point is, long-term, they're still a mess. And the coaches are still pretty average at best. Although Laser did call a heck of a game, if you can weigh this as anything. I mean, that's the other thing here. They've scored points since the switch.
Yes, they have.
Except for the first week against Minnesota, which might be, you know, kinks to iron out and stuff.
Well, that was Foles still, Minnesota. Mitch didn't play there.
I know, but I'm saying since the switch to Laser.
Oh, play callings. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't communicate clearly.
What if these last three games, what if Mitch is still averaging 30 yards a game?
For the 30 points? Sorry,
30 points. Yeah, 30.
I don't know. I don't want to get into what ifs. I'm already dumb for suggesting they should keep him in the first place because I know he's bad against good defenses that mix up the play calls better. And I know he's a bum slayer, but dang it, he's just more enjoyable to watch than Foles.
He is more enjoyable, and he looks more relaxed. And I'm
and if his market is terrible, could you get him at a cheap enough deal that you could live with? I'm asking. Maybe
I think you could, because the rest of the league, you know,
no one's giving him big money.
No one is. He's taken such a beating for not being Mahomes and Watson that
this is all predicated. Go ahead.
He's not as bad as the national narrative says he is.
No, but he is football dumb and can't read complex zones. That's not changing. But Foles is limited athletically and just flat out bad.
Yes.
Mitch made some plays with his feet. He had the nifty sidearm play where he channeled Mahomes while playing Watson. That was fun. he's an actual athlete. So, but my point, this is all predicated on, can I get rid of Foles and bring Mitch back somehow for what Foles was making? I would do that in a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know he'd be good guy teammate to a rookie. Of course, you have to have new coach because that would never work with the current ones.
He would. I think if you're a new coach looking in saying, all right, we're going to draft a new quarterback, and, you know, Mitch, he played better there towards the end. I'd keep him around for a year or two as a new guy, rookie learner. Yeah. I could see that.
There's a scenario for it. It's very unlikely, but a new coach does what you said. Mitch finds out there's no big deal waiting for him. Mitch's irritation is with the current coaches, and so he's still willing to stick around for new coaches. He loves his teammates and blah, blah, blah. His agent says, you're still young. Maybe we can establish value and get you a big deal after this deal, right? That's all got to be in it, and it's all very unlikely. And I never thought we'd be talking about this. I'm just saying, if I could give him Foles' money and a year or two deal, I would do it in a second over keeping Foles.
You got a player of the game today? Just out of random curiosity?
It's either Mitch Montgomery or Mac, the Triple M.
The Triple M?
Roquan had a good game.
I was going to say.
Edwards had a good game.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, you know, he didn't really have any.
Max Rustifer had a good game. Just kidding. I just loved that. Max Pick on Parkins. We got to keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I tweeted him today. I said, he said something about, remember, the Texans defense is bad. And I said,
I agree. I agree.
I said, sounds like you bet on the Texans. And no, he bet on the Bears today. He retweeted me back. And like, oh, my bad. I just took the L. I didn't, you know, fight with him anymore or fight with him about it. Just said, hey, I was wrong. All right, yeah. But, yeah, I did want to check in on Parkins when Watson was not looking good.
That was pretty funny.
And Mitch was looking good.
Can we keep it PG and still laugh at what the announcers thought had happened to Watson? And his jackhammered up the middle. When they thought he took a blow to the groin, they referenced jackhammered up the middle. It wasn't hard to begin with, but that turn of phrase, when you think it's a blow to the groin, I was like, wow, what just happened?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, he's holding his hand between his legs, and he's like doing this with his hand. It was obvious. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Trent Green's not bad. Trent Green's all right.
He's okay, yeah.
Just the definition of all right in the booth.
Yeah. I just thought Roquan all around, he was just constantly making plays, and he's a great tackler.
I had a great open field tackle that stopped the first down fairly late. Didn't really matter, but I was like, that's the kind of play that will matter in a game multiple times in his career that he makes consistently.
Yeah. So maybe he wasn't the best of today, best player on the field today, but man, it just see again and again that he's going to be a great player for a long time.
Yeah, he's taking the leap. I think Daniels was too. And so, you know, this is just me back to the whole, I still think Nagy's worse at his job than Pace, but they both prior needed to be fired.
Yeah.
But you got Mooney, you've got Roquan, you've got Daniels, Whitehair even to some extent. You've got some really nice picks. Eddie Jackson's a late pick. You know, some of the undrafted free agents are playing pretty well. And I'm like, Pace has done some good. It doesn't really make up for the bad. But Nagy, it's like, I don't know what the good is right now.
Yeah. Club dub.
You know, big win for a team that desperately needed one, the psyche. It's nice to not be on a losing streak. And I enjoyed it. It was fun from start to finish.
It was, yeah.
It'll be fun to actually listen to podcasts and radio maybe this week instead of just mostly depressing / unless it's funny venting.
No.
But I don't for a second think this should save anyone's job.
No. Yeah, I totally agree. And Lawrence Holmes tweeted out that tomorrow's going to be the save everyone's jobs day. And they're like, come on, I don't really think so. Do you think there will be fans that are going to say, see, here we go?
My cousin just sent me a text. He's listening to the Scores post game.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, Hub is so dense on this topic. If you need three more late season garbage time wins to inform you what needs to be done moving forward, then you're terrible at your job. Meaning these games don't matter for the decision. And he says it's like the ultimate cop-out. How we need to see how these last 3 weeks go. I agree. We don't need to see it. We saw the last six. We saw last year.
When it
we have
matters.
Stats galore on the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is not any mystery to me
on
what they need to do. But it was still nice to win. I'm glad for the players that are still putting forth the effort. And I think the other angle here really quick, you got to love what you're seeing out of that new interior of the line. And I think you got to really consider that being your group with Daniels, of course, starting and Bars being your swing tackle and sort of like Uber backup.
Mm-hmm.
But that interior is playing pretty well. I know they're not going up against world beaters. It's not like Aaron Donald's out there. But we did talk about how maybe they could have something here, especially at center in Sam Mustipher, who does deserve his name to be pronounced right on occasion. And then Whitehair getting to play guard, where he's definitely better, in my opinion, and Daniels is the other guard. That's a pretty solid front. If Mustipher is the real deal, it's still really early, but, wouldn't that be nice to solve some of those problems in-house on the cheap that could be really important?
And he was an undrafted free agent?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. I didn't realize that. Even so better. Bars.
Yep.
Even
I don't
better.
Think Coward played a single snap unless he was out there on special teams.
I don't think so.
It only took, you know, forever for them to figure that out.
And that right there is
– Every time I compliment them, I can criticize them for the same thing.
Right, but that's the biggest reason I think that you can still say changes have to be made, because it takes them so long to make obvious changes.
Yeah, Hogue pointed it out a couple weeks
so
ago.
Long.
Oh, it was so funny the way Hogue said it too. I won't do it justice, but – He's like, it kills me that, like, it takes them 3 weeks to do anything. They're like, all right, well, we're looking at it. Now we're really looking at it. Everything's being evaluated. And then finally there's a decision. It's just like how – that's just, it's not like, oops, one bad game. I mean, he's terrible. So it was nice to see the interior play well. I still think Leno is probably the biggest liability on the offense at the moment. Speed I don't know what bumped. Happened to him, but he's really terrible.
Yeah, so. When there was a holding penalty on, I think it was a Patterson, a big run to the left, to the far side, and you saw a flag, like, okay, that's going to be Leno holding.
Yeah, like, I remember thinking it. That, I knew it, yeah, it was way off screen, it was a big, like, 20-yard mm-hmm. run, and I was like, Leno held. I saw the flag flash, exactly.
You know it.
Tremendous, funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my thoughts on the game. I did enjoy it, and I do hope it doesn't bite him.
Let's bask in the glory of the Bears W for the day then.
Oh, last thing. We buried the lead.
Hmm?
The Bears, the mighty Chicago Bears have now beaten every team in the NFL.
You're right. First time they've ever beaten the Texans. And it only took, 20 years? 15?
Four or five games. They don't play them much. But yeah, finally
yeah, once every 4 years.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they made up for it by smacking him upside the head, my friend.
In case you didn't notice,
yes.
I have succeeded.
You have succeeded. Nice. Not like talking Child Bears to. I'll only post the audio, so you know.
Yeah, I figured. But Mark is for the, those at home, I am holding a 2-year-old who has fallen asleep due to our riveting conversation.
She tuned out at Trubisky.
Yeah, as soon as we started that horrible hot take about bringing Mitch back and trying to get rid of Foles, she's like, "And I'm out."
Mm-hmm. She's like, I prefer Foles.
Yeah, we're going to have to work on that. You're dead wrong.
Oh, you wanted to say something about Thanksgiving.
Okay, can we end on this?
Yes, let's end on this.
So I'm reading a book called The First Thanksgiving Something-Something subtitled by Robert McKenzie. It's a really good deep dive into all the nonsense that we give the pilgrims for Thanksgiving. It's a fun read.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of really important things like philosophically and talks theology too. It's not just let's make fun of our holiday, but let's really understand it. And he's got a little blurb, a little paragraph, if I can read it, on football that I just read while I was multitasking, because I told you I'm not giving the Bears my undivided attention.
And being about the pilgrims, does he discuss the Washington football team?
No, it's not that recent.
Okay,
yeah, I wish. He says the centrality of football to the day developed much earlier than most of us would guess. I'm like, ooh, now I'm really interested. In 1876, the newly formed Intercollegiate Football Association with four member schools held its championship game on Thanksgiving Day in New York City.
Mm.
1876. In short order, the contest evolved into the country's premier sporting event, drawing crowds of upward of 40,000.
Wow.
By the early 1890s. In 1891, a writer for Harper's Weekly observed that in New York, quote, a great and powerful and fascinating rival has come to take the place of the Thanksgiving Day dinner, the Thanksgiving Day game, end quote. Soon, big rivalry games were becoming Thanksgiving traditions in Washington, Chicago, St. Louis, and L.A. By 1893, the tradition was so entrenched that the New York Herald lamented, Thanksgiving Day is no longer a solemn festival to God for mercies given. It's a holiday granted by the state to see a football game. Now, I ask you, dear listener, where else can you get that kind of analysis on a podcast?
Exactly.
We're the only football podcast giving you the historical roots of Thanksgiving football.
That's beautiful.
Go Bears.
Bears. That's beautiful, my friend. All right, let's talk later this week about the upcoming Vikings game.
Yeah, and maybe more big picture news by then or something about something.
All right, bear down, my friend.
Go Bears.
Bears. See ya.
You've been meatballed.